Now, we're fortunate to have with us the New South Wales Law Reform Commission, Professor Michael Tilbury and Mr. Peter Hennessy, Executive Director. Thank you very much for coming and thank you for your submission. Very interested to hear your presentation.
Thank you very much. What we're proposing to do is briefly give an overview of the project that the Law Reform Commission has been involved with over a number of years as part of a review of the State's Property Relationships Act. And Michael Tilbury, following my short overview, will have some comments to make about some specific issues that we've had to look at as part of our review. Just to provide a little bit of context, the De Facto Relationships Act 1984 is, I guess, was probably the first act of its type in Australia recognising de facto relationships. It followed a report of the New South Wales Law Reform Commission. That act was then amended in 1999 to extend it to same-sex relationships and to close personal relationships. So that was carer-type relationships. I won't go into the lead-up as to how that happened, but at about the same time, a committee of the New South Wales Parliament was set up, the Standing Committee on Social Issues, to also look at aspects of the Property Relationships Act, and it provided a report pretty much after the 1999 Act had already come into effect, and it made several recommendations primarily related to same-sex relationships about extending the scope of the Act, and it made recommendations about a range of matters, but some of the more complex issues it recommended should be referred to the Law Reform Commission for further and more detailed consideration. and that happened in the latter part of 1999. The Commission published a fairly detailed discussion paper. It's about 400 odd pages in the early part of 2002, and it pretty much covered a very broad range of issues, not only relating to property and financial issues, but also relating to children, to carer type issues. It revisited the question of adoption, so it really was quite a comprehensive paper. Now, following that, discussions commenced in New South Wales about the possible referral of power to the Commonwealth over both opposite-sex de facto relationships and same-sex de facto relationships. And ultimately, New South Wales referred power to the Commonwealth, and a number of other states have done likewise. That created something of a difficulty for the project that our commission was involved with, because it was then a little uncertain whether the Commonwealth, and in fact it's still uncertain, whether the Commonwealth will in fact pick up the referrals of power that have been made. The New South Wales referral made it very clear, it separated that it was actually referring opposite sex de facto relationships, and in another clause, same-sex de facto relationships. And the Commonwealth at one stage indicated that it would only pick up the opposite sex de facto relationships referral, but in fact nothing has proceeded on that in that area as far as I'm aware up to today. Now, the ongoing debate about that issue meant that the Law Reform Commission was a little uncertain as to exactly what our project would cover and how much would be left for us to deal with if in fact all power was referred and the Commonwealth enacted legislation covering the field. But following the uncertainty, our commission has now proceeded, and we're in the final stages of producing a report as part of this review. It focuses primarily on same-sex and close personal relationships, and we anticipate that that report will be with the attorney in its final form in a matter of weeks. So it's pretty much a final document. Now, while the focus of that report, because of the historical circumstances, has largely been on same-sex relationships, most of the proposals that the report contains can apply equally to opposite-sex relationships. That's the general approach the Commission has taken, and I guess that may become a reality if in fact the Commonwealth does not proceed with any legislation in this area. In terms of the work that the Commission has done more recently, following the change of focus of the Commission, we did engage in a further series of consultations in late 2004 and early 2005, primarily with the gay and lesbian community, about issues that they were concerned about, with mainly property and financial, but we also dealt with parenting concerns as well. And we did that in two ways. We ran a series of focus groups both in Sydney and in Lismore in regional New South Wales, and we also ran a small survey and had the assistance of the gay and lesbian community in terms of circulating that. So that material hasn't yet been published, but we could certainly make part of that material available to your Commission if that would be of assistance.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
That's pretty much all I want to say in terms of the general overview, but I'll hand over to Michael, who might say something about some of the substantive issues that the Commission's dealt with.
Peter, can I say we would be very interested in that material? Thank you, it would be very helpful.
Okay.
Yes, Michael, thank you.
Thank you. I regret in a way that we're actually giving evidence to you when we're about to make a report to the Attorney-General. And one of the constraints which applies to us is that we can't tell you actually what conclusions we've reached. And so if you just bear with me, I can focus on some of the important issues which we have considered, but I can't actually tell you what our conclusions are because those have to be released by the Attorney General.
Can I just ask, you're anticipating to have your report in this year, I take it?
Sorry?
You're anticipating that your report will be with the Attorney this year?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes, that's right. If you can just bear with that restraint because it's slightly unsatisfactory from our point of view, obviously. Well, what has been the nature of this review? Just to pick up by way of background on some of the points which Peter has made. What the Commission has done is to investigate the operation of the Property Relationships Act in New South Wales. And the exercise has involved an assessment of whether legislation that was devised more than two decades ago remains current and appropriate to the social context in which it operates, in light of the increasingly varied forms that families and domestic relationships now take. In particular, the review has had to take account of the financial relationship matters relating to the breakdown of opposite sex de facto relationships, that those matters are likely in the future to be dealt with under Commonwealth law, so that the Property Relationships Act will apply predominantly to people in same-sex de facto relationships and in close personal relationships. It is these two groups, therefore, that form the focus of the report. At the same time, I want to stress that the report's recommendations for reform of the PRA are broad enough to be equally appropriate to opposite-sex de facto relationships should the Commonwealth not pass legislation in that area. The review has considered a number of ways in which the PRA, the Property Relationships Act, could be improved. The first point in our terms of reference referred to financial adjustment on the breakdown of relationships. And in respect to financial adjustment scheme, which is central to the PRA, the review investigates whether courts should consider a wider range of matters than is currently allowed for when dividing up property between parties in a domestic relationship. A domestic relationship referring in this context both to a same-sex relationship and to a close personal relationship. At present, interest in property may be adjusted to reflect more fairly past contributions that the parties made to their property, financial resources, or the welfare of the family. The review has investigated whether or not the PRA should be amended to allow financial adjustment on the basis of matters relating not just to the party's past contributions, but also to their present and future needs, such as their financial needs arising from ongoing responsibilities to care for children. Such a scheme, if recommended, would resemble more closely the scheme for financial adjustment that applies to married couples under the Family Law Act. The attraction of such an approach is that it is capable of being made as flexible as possible to allow consideration of the wide variety of factors that may be relevant to modern relationships. One of those factors to which we have devoted attention in our inquiry is the effect that domestic violence ought to have on financial adjustment proceedings. The difficulty of taking this factor into account is that it runs the risk of reintroducing into relationships legislation the notion of fault, which was generally put to rest in 1975 in the Family Law Act. We have investigated whether domestic violence ought to be relevant only where it has directly impacted on the contributions that a party has made to the relationship or on that party's health, which is generally the approach taken in the family court, or whether a more robust approach to this issue is capable of being taken. Central to our inquiry is, of course, the definition of domestic relationship, which in the context of the PRA, as in other legislation, extends to both de facto and close personal relationships, and which tends to list certain factors which are relevant to the determination of its existence. We have investigated fully the adequacy of current definitions. For example, the extent to which the definition should involve a time limit on the existence of the relationship, or should require the parties to live together in the same household. But we've also considered the question of whether there isn't a better way of dealing with this. At present, people who meet certain criteria set out in the Property Relationships Act are automatically presumed to be in a de facto or close personal relationship and to come within its scope. To supplement this approach, we have investigated whether a registration system for de facto and personal relationships should be introduced in New South Wales. Registration would bring a relationship within the PRA's scope, as well as provide formal recognition of that relationship so as to attract all the legal rights and obligations that the law generally attaches to such relationships. A registration scheme would, of course, be of particular benefit to people in same-sex relationships who, under federal law, are unable to marry. In terms of the responses which we got to this point in our questionnaire, I should say that the figures were that the majority of respondents, 65%, believed that there should be a registration system for same-sex couples in New South Wales. 14% disagreed, and almost 20% were unsure or did not give a response. It's of interest to ask the question why those who did not support a registration, what sort of reasons did they give? Well, some of the reasons were the following. First of all, because there is none for de facto heterosexual couples. Secondly, that the law and bureaucracy rely on bits of paper. Thirdly, that same-sex couples should be able to marry, like heterosexual couples can, and not have a separate registration process. And fourthly, which is a subset, I think, of the last point, is that it discriminates against people in same-sex relationships. Another significant area that we have investigated relates to the children of same-sex households. There is currently very limited legal recognition given to the relationship between a child and his or her step-parent, where that step-parent and the child's legal parent are in a same-sex relationship. Similarly, where partners in a lesbian relationship agree to have a child together through artificial insemination, there is very little legal recognition given to the relationship between the child and his or her non-biological parent. In these two situations, the law may often be out of step with the reality of the level of involvement of the non-biological parent in the child's life. Failure to give legal recognition to these relationships not only creates practical difficulties in the day-to-day lives of these families, but also deprives the child and the parent of the rights and responsibilities that he enjoyed by a legal parent, including financial responsibilities. This obviously cannot always be considered to promote the child's best interests. Our inquiry has investigated whether or not the Property Relationships Act should be amended to allow for greater legal recognition to be given to this type of relationship between child and non-biological parent. We have also investigated a number of other areas where it has been suggested that the PRA could be improved to accommodate more closely the needs of people in same-sex and close personal relationship. These include areas relating to the making and enforcement of financial agreements between domestic partners and the means of formal and alternative dispute resolution. As Peter has already mentioned, our inquiry has been informed by views expressed in submissions, in focus groups comprising members of the gay and lesbian community, and in responses to a questionnaire which we circulated within the gay and lesbian community. That really concludes all that I wanted to say about our inquiry on this matter, but I notice in your background information sheet that you've also mentioned as point 10, inheritance, and I thought that I should draw your attention to the fact that there is currently in progress a uniform law initiative which has been coordinated by the Queensland Law Reform Commission, which is looking into the whole question of creating a uniform law of succession to apply in all Australian jurisdictions. Reports have already been made in relation to wills and in relation to family provision. Our commission, the New South Wales Law Reform Commission, has prepared a paper on intestacy, which is currently being considered by that national committee which is considering that report. And I should add that in that report we have considered whether or not the questions of who should succeed on intestacy should include people in same-sex relationships, particularly as they already are recognised under state law. Already taken that into account. A further report will also be made on the administration of estates, and that is due by the end of the year. But again, in respect of our report on intestacy, that report is completed and has been considered by the National Committee, and again we would consider that the National Committee is meeting to consider it early in August, and we would consider that it would be released to the standing committees of Attorneys General within the next couple of months.
So it's not a public report at the moment?
No.
I see.
Could I just make one supplementary comment?
Yes,
as well? When the Property Relationships Act was passed in New South Wales in 99, there were a considerable number of consequential amendments made to a number of other state acts to include same-sex relationships in the definition of de facto relationships, and there was a further miscellaneous amendments act in 2002 which amended another 20 state acts for the same purpose. So there's been an ongoing process in New South Wales to try and ensure that de facto relationships, where it appears across the statute book also include same-sex relationships. Now, that exercise isn't quite complete. They did perhaps what I might call the easy ones first, and there are still some that need to be done, and we could actually give you a note. I mean, they're primarily New South Wales Acts, of course, but we could let you know which ones are still deficient in that regard in New South Wales.
The Anti-Discrimination Board have put in a submission which lists the 20 or whatever it is that were done in 2002 and have commented on some that they think remain still to be dealt with, including the Adoption Act. Well, thank you very much for that. I mean, the release of those reports will be extremely relevant to what we're doing, but I think we fully understand the limitations under which you're operating at the moment. I mean, the thing that interested me when you started to talk about it was how you are going to provide for the recognition of relationships. And I understand what you say, that you were proposing a formula, if I can use that word, that would cover heterosexual and same-sex relationships in exactly the same way. I don't want to pry too far into this, but are you likely to recommend a formula that has a list of factors that are to be considered, or are you producing a new form of test?
As you know, the legislation tends to list factors which are taken into account, and if you fall within those factors, then you are presumed to be in a de facto relationship and so on. Because of the change in emphasis in our report, focus on same-sex and close personal relationships, what we have done is to look at the criteria which are generally listed in the in legislation and to ask ourselves the question, are those criteria relevant in the context of same-sex and close personal relationships? For example, looking at the thing from a distance, you would say, why are same-sex relationships and close personal relationships, which are clearly very different things, governed by the same set of criteria? Well, obviously, that depends upon how widely the criteria are framed and so on. So we've looked at their appropriateness in relation to both types of relationships. And if I could give you one example, I mean, one obvious example in distinguishing, for example, between opposite sex and same-sex de facto relationships may be the public standing of the relationship. For example, people in same-sex relationships may not want, for example, the nature of their relationship to be generally known because of fear of homophobia and so on. So in that situation, that would may be a relevant distinguishing characteristic to take into account in determining whether or not a same-sex relationship exists or not.
And would the test that you propose be one that would also pick up non-sexual relationships, close relationships, for example, two siblings living together all their lives in a close relationship, or ancient mother and spinster daughter, or...?
The New South Wales close personal relationships concept currently employs the same criteria for determining that. We have investigated in the report whether or not separate criteria should be developed for that. And in respect of close personal relationships, for example, the clear focus of the legislation has been on carers. It seems to be mainly on carers that the legislation seems to be focused. And so we're obviously looking at that as well.
One of the concerns that's already been expressed to us today orally, and it's certainly expressed in the submissions, is the need to disclose a lot of personal, sometimes sensitive, confidential information to persuade someone that you have a relationship. Have you addressed ways in which that problem might be lessened or removed apart from the registration?
No, it's principally been addressed through the registration system.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Graham, have you got any questions?
No, I think might have been covered. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you both very much. I'm sorry you can't disclose to us the outcome of the report, but we shall await it with much interest in due course.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing those things to our attention. Thank you.